I'll second for purpose of discussion.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so is that the full amendment, or what's the exact language that we're going to go with?
So, Councilman, the extrapolated language that the Colonel discussed, is that something that
enshrines
the intent of your amendment?
What I'd like to do here is offer directionally a few items that I'd like to see in here. I would much prefer to not craft the language here on the fly. So I think if the chief has language that's already in the policy that aligns with what we're trying to accomplish, that would be a great way to get it right.
Yeah, and I do think that's important to point out for everybody here. Again, this is just an ordinance of things that the city council would like to see in the actual policy. The policy is being drafted and worked on for the Board of Public Safety. So this is recommendations. We would like to see this if we add these things. That's why it's not going as deep as, I mean, that was a long explanation, because that's what the policy is for. This is an ordinance to set the framework on that. Ultimately, we could pass any ordinance about this. If the city council doesn't agree with the policy that comes out of the Board of Public Safety, the city council has options, including not purchasing the cameras. So again, I think there's really good discussion. We're not going to be able to include everything that we want to see in this ordinance, because that's not really what we're doing here. That's going to be in the policy. We want to make sure that the city council is on record saying these things are important to us. So I think that the line that, you know, Councilman Gephardt is bringing up, like that theory, you put that right in there. The 30 days, we put it right there. The details and stuff like that, that'll be flushed out within the actual policy in the end. So again, this is things we want to highlight. That's why we have this list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 now. So again, we're kind of in different territory, whereas there's an ordinance we would like to see in a policy. We don't have the policy. We're not going to be voting on the policy. But ultimately, if the city council does not agree with the policy, we do have some repercussions, like not purchasing the cameras in the end. So I know that was a long discussion. I was trying to stall a little bit so the solicitor can get some language. Solicitor Walsh.
Sure. So Councilman Gephardt has moved an amendment to extend at the end of subsection D on page 2, and it's been seconded by Councilman Ricks to add the language that says all ALPR data downloaded to the server. Shall be stored for no longer than 30 days. It should. Okay. All ALPR data downloaded to the server should be stored for no longer than 30 days and in accordance with the established Rhode Island records retention schedule. Thereafter, all ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal or civil action or is subject to a disciplinary request or other lawful action to produce records.
Councilman Nick Gephardt, your thoughts or comments on that? Is that your intention?
Yes.
Okay. And Councilman Ricks has seconded for discussion. Councilman Ricks.
My question is, what sort of civil actions would the ALPR data be used for?
Could be a civil action after a hit and run investigation.
Could it be, say, a workers' compensation action by the employer or insurance company where they caught using the ALPR technology, they recovered it and they discovered that, this person that we are surveilling is where that person is not being expected to be?
No. This is for law enforcement purposes only. So unless another law enforcement agency was initiating a criminal investigation against somebody, we would not release the information. So if a civil entity or a lawyer approached us and asked for this information, it would not be given to them.
So would the police department be taking any civil actions in which it would be using this data?
I can't think of any. I would have to say no.
Yeah, that was actually my main concern with this this language, because it would seem to be inconsistent with other language from the section that we have that refers to law enforcement agencies. And I similarly can't think of any civil actions that the police department or city would be taking where it would be using this kind of data. It would be, unless it were a matter of enforcement of the of a motor vehicle code, which is what we're trying to prohibit in section C4. So therefore, I would request that we, from the amendment, strike any reference to civil actions. I'm fine with the reference to criminal actions.
And along the same line, Councilman questioned about discovery requests or other lawful requests to produce records.
That's another area that raises concern for me, because I'm not sure where these discovery requests would be coming from. If the law enforcement agency already has the data, then who's making the discovery request?
I would be okay with simplifying that last line to keep it to active or reasonably reasonable to become an active investigation. And
okay. So following those guidelines to address the second sentence of the amendment, thereafter ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal action or is subject to a discovery request or other lawful action to produce records. So that is removing the or civil. You also want to take out the other piece so that it's restricted
criminal
only
action,
to
period.
Criminal actions. Yeah. Councilman Ricks on the amendment. Colonel?
I don't object.
Okay. Are you all set, Councilman Ricks? Can I go? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, this goes to what Councilman Gebhardt was speaking to, as well as Councilman Ricks. So under procedure, it says, an ALPR shall only be used for official law enforcement business. And I think that Councilman Ricks brought up a good point with the civil issues, because this is used throughout this document, law enforcement business. So I'm wondering, in a court of law, isn't the courts in the law enforcement business? Are they not enforcing laws? Does a judge enforce laws, and is that not construed as law enforcement? So I think that that terminology there, that wording there, shall only be used for official law enforcement business. I think that is very, very vague, and I think it is widely open for interpretation. So I would think that in the case that Councilman Ricks spoke to, a workers' comp fraud case where someone was allegedly out for an injury, is breaking the workers' comp laws, and there is an agency, whether it be the courts or others, that are looking to enforce the workers' comp laws, wouldn't they have access to that information? I'm suggesting that law enforcement is very vague.
Councilman, I would suggest that that's subsection B of the ordinance, and we're discussing an amendment on subsection D. Certainly something that we can come back and refine, but for the...
No, I'm just using that example. That's in the Warwick Police Department's document that was given to us. It starts out with purpose and policy, authority, and under definition. So I was using that as a reference for what Councilman Ricks had brought up. My point being is, as I said earlier, there is, I think, a lot of vague statements and issues in this policy. I think it's great that, you know, we're disseminating all this now and going through it. But I think that there's so much here that, again, I agree with Councilman Ricks that this is not something that should be decided this evening. So I do have an amendment, but I'll sit back and, you know, hold that until everyone else is done. But I think we should get a clarification on that terminology of law enforcement.
Certainly, it's a there's many technical and complicated items, and you know that's the purpose of the discussion here this evening. And we're going through the process at the moment, one amendment at a time, to clarify these items. So just to refresh the council's recollection and those at home watching or here watching, we are currently on a motion to amend Section D of the bill to add language that says all ALPR data downloaded to the server should be stored for no longer than 30 days and in accordance with the established Rhode Island records retention schedule. Thereafter, ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal action. That's the amendment before the council.
Okay. Councilman Gephardt.
Solicitor, can I just clean up one little piece at the beginning where it says downloaded to the server. Can we simplify that by just saying collected? Because I think it would actually be uploaded to the server, not downloaded to the server, but that's semantics. It's just what is.
Councilman, for the purposes of that, I think reviewing the grammar and the intent of what you're looking to do, if we delete downloaded to the server and just say all ALPR data should be stored for no longer than, et cetera. If that, Councilman Ricks has a second on this as well.
Just the only thing I would say is that audit trails could be considered ALPR data, so I wouldn't want to restrict the storage of audit trails.
If I may suggest, since the section...
So, Councilman, got to be recognized, so hold on one second. So, Councilman Gephardt, what was your question? You were speaking to the solicitor.
Yeah, just I don't want to unintentionally require a short retention period on something like an audit trail, which conceivably you would want to store for longer, like. Oh, what searches did Councilman Sinapi make in the ALPR database 6 months ago because some issue has arisen? So if we can clarify just ALPR license plate data or you know, video, photo captures or whatever, but not limit it to any interpretation of ancillary data in the system.
So if my understanding is correct, this is related to another item that about essentially preserving a potential transparency or to what you just referred to as a data or an audit trail. The idea is being exempting the records of use of the technology from that purging requirement. Is that
right?
Okay.
Because the idea is that it's only used against a specific case or act or incident that is actively being worked, and then that should be verifiable by looking back at audit trails of what searches were made by whom at what time, to tick and tie back to make sure that the usage is proper.
If I may, having a 30-day retention schedule and deleting all that data will not affect our ability to perform data detection browsing audits. Again, we have all our audits outlined in the policy, and we would still maintain the ability to do an audit on all our cases to see exactly why officers were accessing the system.
Great. So maybe we could say, comma, save audit records. I'll leave that one to you.
While the solicitor's thinking of that, I'll go to Councilman Ricks. Just on this, correct?
Right. So I think that if we were to define the term that's already contained in subsection D, data collected by an ALPR technology system, and make clear in a definition exactly what that means, then we can just use that term of art, and then in subsequent sentences, we can just start off that later sentence with the term such data.
That's great.
Again, I just, this is very good discussion and debate. I do want to stress again, there's a reason that the Public Safety Committee is writing the policy and gets into these granular, this really detailed things. That is their position. What this original ordinance was to do is just to get some, 10,000 feet guidelines. We're looking for these things. And if then it goes to the public safety to define law enforcement, all that stuff. That is their position. We can put anything you guys want in. I just want to point out the original plan for this ordinance is to give guidelines of what we expect to see. The basic level, we would expect to see this in the policy that's going to become, and that it's just like any other police policy. It's run through public safety. Councilman Gessler.
So is there a world in which we can not pass an ordinance tonight or anytime until such time as we are presented with a policy? And if we feel like we need to make it more restrictive in the ordinance, or need to summarize key points from the policy that we never want to see removed from the policy, that at such point after reviewing the policy, we document that in the ordinance. Is there a pragmatic reason that the ordinance has to come before the policy?
I mean, again, this is the council. We can run it any way that you want. I think while they're drafting and working on this policy, they should know, hey, we're looking for this. At a minimum, you need to have this stuff included. It's up to the council how you want to proceed. This is just one option to do it. Anything else, Councilman Gephardt?
Mr. President, Councilman Lattiser. May I comment on that?
Yep, Councilman Lattiser.
So, with all due respect, what we're doing here this evening is, this is a lot more than just a suggestion or a recommendation to the police department or the Board of Public Safety. This is an ordinance. This isn't just, we would like to see you do this, and, we hope that you include it. The words shall be used. That is definitive. There's no open interpretation about that. So, this is a lot more than just a recommendation. So I think it's absolutely imperative that this particular ordinance gets done completely, and gets done the way it needs to be done, because this is a directive. We're not suggesting anything. As the legislative branch of government, we are stating a very hard position. This is the legislation. This is what the department policy shall be used. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we do have an amendment that has been seconded. I think we all need to hear it again before we make any motions. And then I would like to go back to the colonel one more time after we read the thing. And then the motion has been moved and seconded. We do want to hear the motion one more time. Mr. Walsh.
Just to clarify with the sponsor of the amendment, the clarification to remove downloaded to the server was an intent of yours?
Yes.
And I believe the chief articulated the distinction of how the policy could bridge the gap between an audit trail and the actual data itself. So my suggestion would be to remove the word all and so as well. And so we could just have the sentence read, ALPR data should be stored for no longer than 30 days and in accordance with the established Rhode Island records retention schedule. Thereafter, ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or it is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal action.
Good.
Councilman Ricks?
I think that we really should define the term ALPR data because I think that we know here tonight what we mean by ALPR data. We mean the term that begins at subsection D, quote, data collected by an ALPR technology system, end quote. I think that that's the same term. ALPR data, I like that term. It's shorter, less cumbersome, but we really need to make sure that we have a full definition of that term because otherwise we might end up in a situation where there's a question of whether the audit, the data that Councilman Gebhardt referred to, that would be a matter of auditing the use of the system, whether or not that could be construed to be ALPR data, or even data that's not strictly collected by the ALPR system, but some sort of other data that's not collected by that system. So I think that we need to very carefully craft a definition for ALPR data so that it's not going to be under-inclusive or over-inclusive. It needs to be just right. And I'm concerned that we may not be able to wordsmith that so precisely just here on the fly.
So for the purposes of it being undefined, you previously referenced the use of such data rather than ALPR data because there is a preceding sentence that narrows the scope. Would that be of interest to limit it in such a way?
It would. I think that that would solve the immediate problem, although I think that really the better approach, especially since we may be getting more into some of these details, and really any policy should have its own definitions as well. I think that the more detailed policy through the police department and through the Board of Public Safety, really we should be working with the same set of terms and definitions in the ordinance as in the policy, because then if there's a conflict between the policy and the ordinance, that would open up a whole new can of worms. And so I think it would be a good idea for us to make sure to have something carefully defined. For the moment, I think that just using the term such data in order to just refer back to, quote, data collected by an ALPR technology system, end quote, I think that that would accomplish the purpose for this particular amendment. But I do have those more broad concerns about trying to pass everything just here tonight.
So Councilman Gebhardt, for the purposes of making sure that the amendment, as moved by you and seconded by Councilman Ricks, is precise. The changing of all to such at the start of that sentence, is that acceptable?
I think I found the words here. So if we, can you read back and I'll tell you when to stop?
So the most recent conversation was to add this a second sentence to subsection D that reads, such data should be stored for no longer than 30 days and in accordance with the established Rhode Island Records Retention Schedule. Thereafter, ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or it is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal action.
It appears that within the ALPR terminology, they refer to what I'm describing as audit trails as data detection browsing data, or data detection browsing activity. So perhaps we could just say except for data detection browsing activity.
Except for data detection browsing activity, such data, etc.
Yeah.
Is that sufficient for the sponsor and the second of the amendment?
I would suggest that we really should have that sentence as a separate sentence, because otherwise the term such data referring back to data collected by an ALPR technology system then in other places could potentially be construed to include the term that Councilman Gebhardt used. So if we put a period and then we put another sentence stating that the term that Councilman Gebhardt used shall not be considered to be data collected by an ALPR technology system, period. And that makes clear that that term that Councilman Gebhardt used is not subject to and not otherwise included in the definition of data collected by an ALPR technology system. However, creating a definition would solve all of those problems.
Councilman Gebhardt, would are you comfortable with rather than doing the except for data, going back to the language that the sentence would begin with such data and then have an ending sentence that clarifies that for the purposes of this subsection, data detection browsing activity or something that says this is exempt from the provisions of that subsection? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Hang on 1 second, please. If you want to take it in the commentary, just pick.
Any additional questions on this amendment or language that we're working on?
So the language I would propose would be a final sentence there that says data detection browsing activity is exempt from the storage and purging requirements of this subsection. Councilman Ricks? So what would be before the council at this time in complete form would be adding a sentence or sentences that follow subsection D that reads, such data should be stored for no longer than 30 days and in accordance with the established Rhode Island Records Retention Schedule. Thereafter, ALPR data shall be purged unless it has become or it is reasonable to believe it will become evidence in a criminal action. Data detection browsing activity is exempt from the storage and purging requirements of this subsection. Comfortable in that form? Councilman Ricks? Okay. We have them. Back to you.
I saw two thumbs up on that. Are there any additional questions? Again, this is just on this particular amendment. Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on this amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Hold on 1 second, please. And we're going to come back to you, Councilman Gebhardt. All right, Councilman Gephardt.
Yep, just one more. Try to make this quick. This would be a new section. Well, let me get back there. Call it section E. The Warwick Police Department will create a transparency portal available to the public, which will outline the APLR policy and metrics of the system to include : hot list sources : data retention : number of operational cameras : organizations with access to cameras : number of total plate reads in a 30-day period : and number of searches in a 30-day period .
Okay, we'll take that as amendment. We may change it a little bit, but I need a second to continue the discussion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. Okay, we're just going to give the solicitor a second to write that out. We'll say it again, then we'll. And if you'd like to add, give your thoughts on the amendment, you can do that as well at this time. While he's doing that, if you have any additional.
I've seen this example in other community, in other municipality ordinances and policies. I think it will help take some of the fear out of this, which is, will probably be our biggest obstacle in this important tool becoming a reality to our fine men and women on the police force. It gives an easy way for folks to understand what's happening, what the usage is like, and should be a helpful tool.
Solicitor Walsh has got the toughest job tonight.
And I can read that back to you if you like, or.
With some mild tweaking, if you would indulge the language, that would say the Warwick Police Department ALPR policy shall include the creation of a transparency portal. Which shall be available for public inspection and which outlines the ALPR policy and provides metrics on, and then the six items you identified.
Hot list sources.
Hot list sources, data retention, number of operational cameras, organizations with access to cameras, number of total plate reads in a 30-day period, and number of searches in a 30-day period.
Period.
So that would be the amendment. If there's a second to the amendment, would be
okay. Councilman Rick seconded the amendment for discussion.
To the colonel.
Do you want to read it one more time for the colonel, and then he can respond, and then we have. Just read the amendment one more time. Sorry.
The Warwick Police Department ALPR policy shall include the creation of a transparency portal. Which shall be available for public inspection and which outlines the ALPR policy and provides metrics on hot list sources, data retention, number of operational cameras, organizations with access to cameras, number of total plate reads in a 30-day period, and number of searches in a 30-day period.
I think that's appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I think there's something that we also need to consider. It has not been brought up or mentioned at all regarding the technology, the implementation of this technology, the enforcement, the oversight, et cetera, et cetera. And Mr. Gebhardt's recent amendment just kind of woke me up to an issue. We now, and have had for some time, we have difficulties attracting police officers at all. We have difficulties filling details. Wasn't me. We have difficulties filling details. The police department has, in many instances over the years, been short of officers. I think we also need to consider, what is all this going to take in terms of personnel? Throughout this legislation and in some of these amendments, we're talking about implementing, creating a transparency board. We're talking about the police chief or his or her designee. We're talking about an officer overseeing another officer, following up other folks, reviewing. I think we also need to do an assessment as to how many officers are going to be needed to implement and follow up on this particular item. I think that's something that also needs to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other additional questions or comments on this amendment? Councilman Ricks.
I concur with Councilman Gebhardt and the chief. I think that a transparency portal and having this outlined in the ordinance is useful. I think that even if it weren't outlined in the ordinance, then we really should have a transparency portal if we're going to have this type of technology be used. And certainly, I think that having it in the ordinance, we have this language that's been crafted. I think it's excellent language. I think it's good for us to have that protection as part of the ordinance. So I would vote in favor of this particular amendment.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on this amendment? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on this amendment. Let's get it read one more time, just so we're all clear on what we're voting on. Again, this is an individual amendment that we're voting on.
The amendment moved by Councilman Gebhardt, second by Councilman Ricks, would add a new subsection E on page 2 that reads, the Warwick Police Department ALPR policy shall include the creation of a transparency portal, which shall be available for public inspection and which outlines the ALPR policy and provides metrics on 1, hot list sources, 2, data retention, 3, number of operational cameras, 4, organizations with access to cameras, 5, number of total plate reads in a 30-day period, and 6, number of searches in a 30-day period.
Okay. All right. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action on just this amendment.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy? Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis, 9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt, anything else? Okay, thank you. I will put this out to my colleagues on the council here. I think we've done a lot of good work on this tonight. We've had multiple members of the public speak on that. Happy to entertain any more amendments that we would like to make on this. Colonel, if... we can clean up this language here, get it there so everybody knows. In the meantime, if we were to, if a member of the council wanted to make a motion to hold on this, in the meantime, I know you're going forward with the Board of Public Safety. the Board of Public Safety were to pass their policy, could you get that to the members of the City Council and we can review that? And then when this item comes up again, we'll have a little more on the granular detail of exactly what is in the policy, and that may give the council a little more ease and understanding of exactly what we're looking for. And we could put in the ordinance at that time to say, we also like this, this, and this. I don't know if that is something we can do. I'm kind of spitballing here, but I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, taking a pause on this. We had a lot of language changes on the floor here. I think we'd all be more comfortable being able to read that. What are the next steps from the Board of Public Safety, Colonel?
Certainly, Mr. President, I think it'd be a great idea to pause at this time. Let me get the policy in front of the Board of Public Safety for their approval. Then we can disseminate it to the mayor and to the council. And I think that would assist in facilitating some of the proposed amendments. Again, I think all of these amendments are appropriate. All of the ones, each of the ones that were mentioned tonight are already housed in the policy. So if it makes this process more smooth, I think it'd be more than appropriate to wait till the next session once you already have the approved policy.
Sure. But and I do think this was an important step this evening to get this discussion. We can't discuss together on anything like this unless it comes before this. I know that there was multiple council members that were thinking of this path, so I'm not taking credit for bringing it up. I just happen to have the mic. But I am looking for a council member if you have Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one amendment that I would like to add. I'm assuming it'll probably be the last or at the end of this entire document. And that amendment would be ALPR technology policy. We'll come back to the City Council after the Board of Public Safety reviews and presents their recommendation to the Council for ratification.
Okay, we need a second on that. Do we have a second on that? Okay, Councilman Ricks has seconded that. Colonel, I'd like to get your thoughts on any type of ratification of a police policy from the City Council.
Sure. So with respect to this body and branch of government, I don't believe that it's your role to approve my policies or the police department's policies. It falls under a different branch of government. We fall under the executive branch and the Board of Public Safety, not the legislative branch. I have a policy manual with several hundred policies in it. And if we set a precedent where the City Council were to approve or alter policies, that could have a drastic effect on our agency. We're guided by Rhode Island general law, federal law, CALEA standards. There are several other governing bodies that dictate our policies. I just don't feel that this particular branch should be overseeing and approving our policies.
Thank you, Colonel. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. With all due respect to the Colonel, I think this isn't your normal run-of-the-mill policy. Again, we're not talking about stop sign enforcement, speeding laws, etc. This is a significant policy change addition, and we just spent the better part of 3 hours promulgating proposed amendments and directives on what this policy needs to have or not have. This, once it moves from this body and returns to the police department certainly will have their options of changing, modifying, including excluding language in the current document. Certainly they wouldn't be able to change whatever we approve and the shall be used. Then it can go to the Board of Public Safety, who is a 3-member appointed board, and that board can further modify it. this is something that can and probably will have a significant bearing on the people that live in the city of Warwick and the people that travel through the city of Warwick. And I absolutely believe in this particular instance that the legislative branch of government, which is what we do, we promulgate, propose, pass legislation, which this would be, I believe that we absolutely not only have a responsibility, but I think we have an obligation to the people that we represent here in the city of Warwick to have the final say, yay or nay, on what the Board of Public Safety is proposing. And having said that, once again, I would respectfully request favorable action on this amendment. Thank you.
Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Councilman. Just for a more technical basis, I think we could, without adding too much verbiage, achieve your intention here about council ratification by amending in Section B, third sentence reads, the policy and any changes thereto shall be approved by the Board of Public Safety prior to the operation. If you add after public safety and ratified by the council prior to, but I think the insertion of that language would simplify but match your intent, if that's acceptable. Okay.
That works.
So that's the amendment presented by Councilman Lattiser, which has been seconded by Councilman Ricks, to add the language on bottom of page one, after shall be approved by the Board of Public Safety, insert the language, and ratified by the council.
Okay. Again, this is a change to the language. Colonel, if you would just give your position again.
Again, my position remains the same, and I with respect, I think that there are other means if you do not like the policy, or in Councilman Lattiser's case, where he suggested that at any point I could just change the policy and nobody would know about it. Again, it's in the ordinance as written that any changes would have to be brought before the Board of Public Safety and then issued to you. If this body did not approve of the changes, you would certainly have the ability to create an ordinance that would prohibit the use of ALPR technology.
Thank you, Colonel.
Mr. President.
Any additional questions on this amendment from anyone who hasn't spoken yet? Councilman Gephardt.
I do have one. I am concerned about scope creep here. Clearly this is an important area and one that the public, you know, is concerned about, and I think that us are concerned about, I agree there's no past precedent, for at least to my knowledge, for the city council approving policies that fall in the court of the Board of Public Safety. That said, I don't ever recall receiving a notification that a new policy was ratified or amended in the past, and so perhaps a middle ground would be that we include in here that when this policy is approved or changed, that a proactive notification be sent to the council, such that there's nothing that we miss, right? And if we do disagree with some change that comes down the pike, you know, we could revisit the ordinance and say, you know, no, we are not the Board of Public Safety. We are not approving or drafting policies. But if we disagree with a direction, we can fix it at the ordinance level without being the policy makers. That would be my suggestion, is maybe to just soften the language there, that we don't need to ratify it, but that a notification be pushed out to all members of the council upon ratification or change to the policy.
Thank you. Just for the record, the Board of Public Safety is a public body, and it does have to file open meetings posting. So any change, any vote that they would have to be a public presentation, a public, just like this. So the Board of Public Safety, they do have to follow the public records, I mean, the public meetings laws.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but as the bridge between us becoming the approving body for their policies and just letting them continue to do whatever they do in their lane, I don't know that all of us read every single Board of Public Safety agenda and minutes in order to potentially catch what might be a small change but significant to this particular policy. So, I mean, if we really want to keep our eyes on it because we think it's that important, without the scope creep of moving into areas that we do not, or have not in the past had oversight, direct oversight to, just was suggesting that as middle ground, but I'm sure the lawyers will have other ideas. Thank you.
Speaking of lawyers, Councilman Sinapi.
So just, it's no secret that despite our police force being exemplary, that we've had issues with recruitment. I'll bet a great deal of money that if we as a council decide we're going to now start dictating what the police do over and above what is already in under the charter and the ordinances, that we will have a much larger issue with recruitment and, more importantly, retention. We can't afford to lose the fine officers we already have. And we don't want to, frankly. We paid a great deal of time and effort to train them, get them up to speed, and to integrate them, just to lose them because we want control over something new and different. And that worries us, because again, new and different is going to happen over and over and over again. This is going to be far from the first, or rather far from the last new technology that comes along that everyone is concerned about. I mean, it's not hard to imagine. Almost every day something new and crazy comes out that no one even foresaw. So to start now dictating every little thing is a colossally bad idea, especially when it's basically saying by law that we do not trust the police department or the Board of Public Safety when they've given us every reason to trust them. I get it if there was like, this was in the wake of a bunch of scandals, you know, oh, they can't get it together, but it's not. Quite the opposite, in fact. So I don't see why the presumption now that they don't have it together, so we have to take over, even if it's only this one thing. Seems unfair, to put it lightly. I think Councilman Gebhardt's point is valid when it says, look, if it comes out that we don't like the direction they're going, sure, then you can step in. That's the fair moment to do so, as far as, look, we gave you a chance, it didn't work out. But to say we don't trust to even give you that chance, I think is not warranted by the facts.
Thank you. Have you already spoken on this one, Councilman Ricks? I'm going to go back to the sponsor, if not.
I don't believe I've spoken on this particular one. I could
okay.
be mistaken.
I don't think so, but either. So I just want to give everyone a first shot, and then I'll go back to the sponsor of the person who made the amendment. Councilman Ricks.
I apologize. I was going to speak out of order. I couldn't honestly thought that we were done speaking on Councilman Lattiser's amendment. So please, Mr. President, continue.
Okay.
We're still speaking on Councilman Lattiser's amendment. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Just on Councilman Lattiser's amendment. Councilman Ricks.
So I don't want to pretend that I'm an expert on administrative law, but I think that we may be getting ourselves into some dangerous territory with having a procedure where clearly the legislative body has a certain role in its ability to pass ordinances and regulate ALPR technology. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this ordinance discussed in the very first place. So by deferring certain authority to the Board of Public Safety or to the It is the Board of Public Safety, which is a public body, but that is, to do so would be to constrain this city council as well as future city councils through a certain procedure passed by a majority of the present city council and flipping the need to have five votes or a majority vote for future changes from that to effectively allow changes to a policy to be made without a majority of the council, where a change in the future could be made by the Board of Public Safety, and then it would require a majority of the city council to effectively override. That gets into some constitutional issues in terms of what power exactly this city council is allowed to delegate. What comes to mind is Chevron deference as modified by the Skidmore decision. This is all federal U.S. Supreme Court, but obviously has some implications here at the local level as well as at the state level. I'm not sure exactly what the equivalents are here in Rhode Island to those decisions that are coming out at the federal level. But the same principles generally apply, where you can't have one city council bind future city councils. If we decided that, oh, we have a great idea, we're going to pass a certain ordinance, and it's such a great idea that we're going to require unanimous consent. I'm taking an extreme example here. We're going to require unanimous consent to repeal this great ordinance at any point in the future. Well, that would be unconstitutional. We're not allowed to bind future city councils like that. It really just has to be a plain old majority vote. So if then we're further complicating it by deferring the authority to a different body, regardless of whether or not the Board of Public Safety could be considered an administrative or executive body versus a legislative body, either way, we as the city council as a body would be deferring that authority in a way that's improper. And the mere act of doing that could throw the entire policy into jeopardy under constitutional grounds. And as we all know, one of the most litigated areas when it comes to constitutional law, really we're talking about criminal law, because that's where you get challenges on the basis of constitutionality in our court system every single day. And so then if...
Councilman, we just want to keep it just on this. We're going down the rabbit hole. Thoughts on this amendment, and then...
Okay, I'll make it really simple. If this amendment... if we were to defer our authority, then it throws everything into question. And any entrepreneuring creative attorney defending any defendant where ALPR data is being used, convictions can be thrown out, and that could undermine the entire purpose of everything that is trying to be accomplished by the ALPR technology being used. So I think that we have to think very long and hard before deferring our legislative authority.
Councilman, any other council members who haven't got a chance to speak? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair, the chief. Chief, I did not intend, nor did I mean to imply, that you would change anything and no one would know about it. That was not intent. Nor did I mean to imply that. What we're voting on, or what we could be voting on this evening or at another time, is PCO 6-22 with a whole bunch of amendments. Once the vote is taken on this, assuming that it passes with its amendments, that doesn't mean that this is the way this entire ordinance has to remain. What we pass has to remain because that's an ordinance and that's what is required to be included in the policy. Once we pass that here, then it returns back to the police department for further review, for further discussion, et cetera. And there is opportunity that some amendments could be made by the police department. Then it goes to the Board of Public Safety. They can review it. And as I understand it, they also could make their own amendments or changes, vote on it, and then it's done. This is the way I understand it. Maybe I misunderstand.
Councilman,
and also a point that was made by, I forget who, might have been the colonel. Once this passes in whatever form it passes, whether it be by the Board of Public Safety alone or reverting back to the council for ratification, once it passes, if it passes, any new changes would have to come back to the city council for approval. Is that correct?
That point is correct. The prior point, I think you're confusing the policy with the ordinance. The ordinance won't go over to the Board of Public Safety for their changes. It won't come to me for my changes. The ordinance, as voted upon, will be the ordinance.
Correct. I understand that. Okay. I'm talking about the policy goes over to the Board of Public Safety.
Policy will go to the Board of Public Safety as soon as I can get it on the docket. Once they take a look at it and approve it, it will go directly to you and the mayor
and
for your review. And any subsequent changes that are made in the future, the same process will take place.
Correct. Okay. So the ordinance will now, again, this is, let's just say it passes, okay? So the ordinance passes and now it becomes part of your policy. These ordinances that shall occur, they must, by ordinance, be part of your policy.
I would agree with that.
Correct?
Yes, what we're considering here this evening is setting the ultimate guardrails that the policy, as drafted by the police department, subject to the approval, not the amendment or legislative function. They're essentially an extra vetting board to make sure that the policies are consistent and within the scope and, you know, using their subject matter expertise just to ensure that an additional layer of accountability. But it's the police department that will present their plan for the approval, not for a legislative function of them to amend or anything like that. It would be a review for them to say yes or no to. Whatever the policy is that's presented to them by the police department is subject to whatever guardrails this ordinance would say.
So the long and the short of it is the only say we have on the policy is what we approve in PCO 6-22. Once PCO 6-22 is approved, the city council has no say in the policy.
I would argue that the council always can assert its legislative function into setting the ultimate policy.
How?
That's what this ordinance is.
How? Now,
through amendments of the ordinance.
Through the amendments in our ordinance.
If this council or a future council is unsatisfied with the status of the ordinance, it is subject to revision by any member of the council presenting an ordinance to a PCO to attempt to change it.
So to put it a different way, if this council or any future council is not content with the policy, the city council would have to change the ordinance to deal with whatever they happen to disagree with in the policy.
As was previously discussed by Councilman Rixt, it's well known by that one council cannot bind another, and the action of one is always subject to revision by another or even the same body. So if the council were to approve both a framework as presented in an ordinance, a policy would get potentially approved in such a way, should the council go all the way down the road of purchasing items and then ultimately installing it and experiencing it, the council can still assert its perspective as to what's going on the ground at any point in time by amending the ordinance. So if there's gaps that need to be filled in, it's subject to potential amendment of the ordinance, or potentially the police department could do it themselves proactively through the process set up under the ordinance so that it can be updated quickly and not necessarily have to wait for us should there be a situation like that. So there are many vehicles for setting parameters or even removing them down the road should it not be a pleasurable or appropriate experience.
Okay, Mr. President, given this information and that I'm clearer on where this could go, may go, what alternatives there would be for the city council should we not be content going forward. And I want to reiterate that this has nothing to do with distrust of the police department or of the Board of Public Safety or of this colonel. Has nothing to do with that. Given that we do have other avenues to move forward on this and propose changes going forward, I will withdraw my motion.
Okay, the motion is withdrawn. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeing the discussion and the amendments that were made, I would move to hold this item till the next available date.
Let's get a date. Looks like it's going to get seconded, but do you have a date in mind? I would put it out at least a month.
Recommend that's your I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Whatever the solicitor determines is the best so that our due diligence is done.
I think
September,
the second meeting, September
19th.
September 19th.
Make a motion to hold this item until September 19th.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McRae, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, just one point on that, if I may. You, we have held voting on the cameras until September 19th as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to leave that in place or do you want to change that as well? Do you want to deal with both of these issues the same night?
Yeah, no, I think we need to get a policy in place before we would take any vote on a
right.
I just, is 2 weeks enough time for this body to get their information, reach out?
I think
if we're going to hold, I think we should wait for the public safety so we can see the policy.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
No, I was just going to suggest that at this time, you know, the point that Councilman Lattiser is making is we're not sure how long the bid could or should be postponed to, but at that next meeting that we take up the ordinance, we may have better insight, so it may be appropriate to have it on that calendar so that we can decide where best to put it at a later date rather than arbitrarily choosing a date at this time that may or may not fit the timelines that need to be met. So, I don't up to the council, but if we've already held it to that item. If it needs to be further delayed, that's one option. But at that meeting, we could always hold
correct
to a more particular date that would be in line with whatever other actions could be taken at that meeting.
Yeah, I would think that's the intent of the council, that we're going to do an ordinance before we even consider taking up a vote. So even though it's the same date, that was
my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that's been second to hold. Roll call to motion to hold until the second meeting in September.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis? Yes. Nine yes to hold.
Thank you. And I just want to, I want to thank the colonel. I want to thank the members of the public that came here and thank the council. I know that was a lot, and there was a lot of discussion, a lot of moving around, but that's how the sausage is made, as they say, and these policies are very important, and I would recommend that members of the public reach out to their council members, and council members work with the colonel, work with the Board of Public Safety. Let's keep the discussion going. This is a very important issue, and I think we had a very good discussion tonight. I want to thank the colonel for your time and on this and in the administration as well. Next up on the agenda is number 4, PCR 78-22, committee report, public safety. Councilman McElroy, if you could move that for Councilman Foley of Public Safety. I believe it's favorable for $300 for the claim for Paul DiPetrillo.
Yes.
And second by Councilman Ricks. Any questions on this that hasn't already been asked? Do we already do that?
Mr. President, I believe
that
we just started new business. So next on the list would be PCR 91-22.
Correct. Yes, you are correct. I apologize. We are now on number 2 under new business. PCR 91-22, a resolution extending a commission to examine possible means of tax relief for Warwick property owners through tax exemptions, committee report, intergovernmental.
Favorable.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Moved favorable action, second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Number 3 this evening is PCR 93-22, committee report, intergovernmental.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCR 93-22.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Foley. Any questions on this that were not asked in intergovernmental earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes. Motion passes.
And thank you. Number 4 this evening's PCR 94-22, committee report, public safety. For action, Councilwoman Travis, can you move that for me, please?
I move favorable action on PCR 94-92.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Thank you. Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in Public Safety Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes. Motion passes.
Thank you. Number 5 this evening is PCR 95-22, committee report, public safety. I believe this was held to September 19th.
No, held to September 19th.
Yeah. The recommendation was to hold to September 19th. Number 6 this evening is PCR 96-22, committee report, public properties.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, move favorable action on PCR 96-22.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business by this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Any objection? All in favor to move the docket session, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
One item, Mr. President, for an ordinance regards to illegal dumping in private dumpsters.
Ordinance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That's welcome. Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8.
I have 2.
Resolution to rename Kettle Street to George Sears Greenway.
Public properties.
And resolution to the state DOT in regards to the installation of a traffic signal at the intersection of Cedar Pond Drive and Centerville Road.
Intergovernmental. Ward 9. All right. Good work, everybody, this evening. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.